We do praise the one who makes us one. We come in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, if you brought them this evening. If not, use one of the pew Bibles and turn to our text for this evening, a reading from Matthew chapter 17. The theme for tonight is From the Mountaintops into the Trenches. May God bless my speaking and your hearing for Jesus' sake. Amen. In our text for tonight, we'll see that God the Father led Jesus to a mountaintop. In that mountaintop, at that mountaintop, to pray, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, so that he would be sent back down into the trenches, into the valley, where real ministry takes place. Perhaps God has led you to mountaintop experiences in your spiritual life. And God leads us from those places then to our ministries and the places, the people, the situations where he would have us share the message of the gospel, that God strengthens us for the ministry that he sets us individually and us corporately about doing together. This season, as Pastor mentioned, is the culmination, this weekend, is the culmination of the season that we call Epiphany. Epiphany means to bring to light, to manifest, to show something. And Epiphany means to show Jesus. To show Jesus to the world, who God is in Christ Jesus. That Jesus was fully and 100% God, while at the same time being fully and 100% human being. God manifest, God showing himself in the flesh, Emmanuel, God among us. During this last 7 weeks, as we've gone through the season of Epiphany, we've seen Jesus. And in many of the miracles, many of the examples from Scripture, we've seen him to be both God and man. God come into the world to be the Savior of the world. You may remember as we celebrate the Epiphany itself, we are reminded that Jesus came into the world to be a human being. Miraculously, wonderfully, God came in the flesh. A long time ago in that little town of Bethlehem, there were shepherds out who were taking care of their flocks, and they received the message from the angels that God had come into the world in the form of a human being. Fully God, only God could do such a thing, and also fully human, this tiny baby. The Epiphany, God showing himself in Christ. Many years later, that same Jesus, now a young man, was carried by the Spirit into the waters of the Jordan River for his cousin to baptize him. Jesus asked John to baptize him, and John, remember, refused in saying, you know, Jesus, you ought to baptize me. But so that all things would be done wisely and well, and so that all righteousness might be fulfilled, he said, so that the law could be kept, John baptized me. Jesus is God, and he didn't need to be baptized for his own sins, but as a human being going into those waters, he set the example, the model for us. For us to go into the waters of baptism, there to receive forgiveness, that all things would be done rightly to his glory and honor. Jesus was then led to his first miracle, that miracle of changing water into wine. Only God could do such things. God is in the flesh, in Jesus, fully man and fully divine. Then we see tonight the transfiguration, where Jesus went up to that high mountain to pray, and there he was transfigured miraculously, God in the flesh. Only God could do such things. Only God would show his glory in this way, in the person and work of Jesus. But ultimately and finally, the way that God shows his greatest glory in the face of Jesus is through the cross. There on the cross, Jesus does what God had planned, the Father had planned, before the beginning of creation. That he would take on human flesh. That he would be betrayed and arrested and falsely accused and unjustly tried and ultimately sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and mine and the forgiveness of all the world. That's how God best shows himself among us to his glory and for our benefit and well-being. This weekend, as we celebrate the miracle of the Transfiguration, our text from Matthew chapter 17 tells us that Jesus went up on the high mountain. He went with Peter and James and John. I'd like for you to jot down in Life at Holy Cross someplace, just on the front. Take out Life at Holy Cross and jot down with a pen or a pencil Matthew chapter 17, that's our text for tonight, and Mark chapter 9, and then Luke chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9, you'll see the other events around the Transfiguration described by the evangelist. What we're told in tonight's gospel reading is that Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus, and what Luke tells us is they went up to pray. They went there to be alone with one another, to be in communion with the Heavenly Father. Undoubtedly, Jesus knew exactly what was going to transpire following the Transfiguration. And he went to be with these close disciples and to commune with his Father to prepare for what was about to come. What we find out from all three of those texts is that Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus, the greatest of the prophets, the greatest of the lawgivers, and what they did was to help him prepare, Luke says, for his departure from the world. His greatest work was about to take place. The greatest event of his ministry, his death on the cross for you and me and for us, the forgiveness of our sins, was about to take place. And all the prophets and all the law pointed to just that fact. And as they gathered with him, Moses and Elijah, they encouraged Jesus to know that all things were about to take place to the glory of God, God manifest in Christ in this way for us and for the whole world. As they were in this place, they prepared then Jesus for his ultimate sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And when they departed, then the apostles who were yet remaining were confused. They were afraid because of what they had seen take place. Matthew tells us that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing was like a bolt of lightning. Mark tells us that his clothing appeared in such a way that no person on earth could bleach them as clean and as pure as they appeared in the Transfiguration. And then Luke tells us that his face and his clothing was like a bolt of lightning shining for the apostles to see. They were afraid in these things, and God the Father came and he spoke there that this was his beloved Son, and they should listen to him. They cowered there, the apostles did, not knowing what would happen next. And Peter, as he often did, stuck his foot in his mouth again and said, "Well, Lord, it's good that we're here. We can build these little shelters, these little lean-tos, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. We can hang on to this glory." And Jesus, Peter said, "Wouldn't it be good if we could stay here a long, long time?" That's when the voice of God, the Father, spoke. The Father said to those who listened, "This is my beloved Son. This is the Son that I love. He says, I am pleased with him. Now listen to him." At that, the disciples cowered with fear. But Jesus lovingly and gently came to each one, and our text tells us he touched them. He told them not to be afraid, but to get up and to follow him. You see, Jesus knew there are these mountaintop experiences where he was prepared, equipped, encouraged, and blessed so that they would follow him down the mountain and into the valley and into the trenches, if you will, where ministry takes place. And that's exactly what happened. As they went down the mountainside, then to the rest of Jesus' ministry, where he healed the lame and he gave sight to the blind, where he healed the man whose arm had palsy, and he gave hearing to those who couldn't hear. What Jesus did was to leave that experience of his glorification to serve. That's where his ministry was, with the people, among the people, to be their Savior and Lord. Sometimes God gives us mountaintop experience as well. Sometimes it's in our prayer closet when God's Spirit touches our hearts and our minds. It certainly is as we are in His Word, where we've read His Word, and perhaps we've read that section of Scripture many times. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, He works in our hearts to help us see something, to understand something that we've never seen or understood before. As we come to this place and receive His body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine, He gives us a mountaintop experience. He touches us. He knows us. He loves us. He forgives us and empowers us to go in service. Each day when we remember the waters of our baptism, we are empowered, equipped, encouraged, forgiven, and sent out. We are ear witnesses of what God does for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Maybe it's as a song is sung, perhaps a part of our worship. My hope is, at least sometimes through the sermon, Jesus touches you in a way that He hasn't touched you before, or in such a way that you are encouraged, equipped, that you are blessed, so that you can leave the mountaintops and go into the valley, into the life, into the trenches of ministry, where God equips you to serve Him and to be His ear witnesses to those who need to know Him too as Lord and Savior. Pastor mentioned at the outset of the service, we're going to find out more about the ministry of Passageway. Maybe God equips you to give blood. Maybe it's to tie quilts. Maybe it's to provide for the homeless. Maybe it's to give food and shelter to those in need. We gather gifts that we give to Grace Lutheran Church for their food pantry. We help the people, the men at Passageways, to have decent and clean places to live. How is it that God is calling you to follow Him? To recognize that He touches you, He forgives you, He loves you, and like the apostles, He empowers us to serve. We can get so wrapped up in life and living and school and work, in our families and our situations, and we need to hear the voice of God speaking to us tonight and all the days of our lives. And He calls us to listen. Listen to Jesus. To follow Jesus from these mountaintop experiences and do and serve and live in ways that carry Him to our community and to all the world. That's what we do in this place because we are rooted in the Word. God comes to us in His Word to empower and strengthen us, and then He calls us into the valleys of life and into our service so that we grow in Christ and in sharing Him with all the world. May God bless you as you see Jesus, fully God, fully man, your Savior, And as you listen to his voice and he guides you into service, God bless you and your families and us as a family together as Holy Cross. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen.